Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Well, welcome to Eagle Bend Community Church, and we could start off with the announcements, and Betty can take as much time as she needs until the video comes on, then we cut her off.
We have our new music director, Hugh Davis. Hugh, would you like to say something to us? And he says, no, not particularly.
I just enjoy being here. Enjoy helping to lead worship, and obviously enjoy music, and was here a few weeks ago. And really appreciated the opportunity to come back and be a part of the worship team here. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much.
Off to a good beginning, even if we have technical difficulties, right? I thank you so much for the pillow for our sister-in-law. The news is not great, but she has a really great attitude. She's having a port put in this week. She's having a wig made so that when she loses her hair, we don't know how long she has, but I know that this will be a great comfort to her. And then our family, we found out that a niece is having surgery tomorrow, and my daughter's having surgery on Wednesday, so we're kind of getting hit with all kinds of things here, but we have to pray for these people and keep them in our thoughts. We probably, if we don't have words, we'll maybe sing the first verses of songs, because most of us kind of know the first verses of things, and otherwise I'll be up here singing a solo like last week, right? But let's start our service now after that great, great prelude with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come here on this first Sunday of Lent, and we come here to give you praise. We know that all the good things come from you, and we sometimes forget to say thank you. We hope that this service will be a blessing and will be pleasing in your eyes. We know that Hugh will bring us good music and will inspire us for all the rest of this Lenten season. We ask that you be with Bruce as he brings us the message this morning. And all of these things we ask in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen. We're going to start. I usually have a story, but I didn't bring a story today because we're going to do a responsive reading. Now, it was going to be on the screen, but it's not going to be difficult. Those who have books can look at page 42. Some of the choir members do. But you only answer the same thing every time. It is, He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, For by him all things were created, the things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Now he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. He is King. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. He is. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. He is King. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. This was to lead into our first hymn this morning, which was Crown Him with Many Crowns. So we'll try the first verse, and we have some of the choir members that have books so they can help us sing, okay? Let's stand. Page 45. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthems groans, all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee. King through all eternity. Thank you. Be seated.
Good morning. Since Lent has just started this past week, time for reflection for all of us, I decided to say this prayer for Lenten grace. Loving God, during the sacred season of Lent, bring us closer to you. Prepare a place in our homes and hearts for silence and solitude so that we may rediscover the grace of a prayerful life. Help us to fast from those things that threaten the well-being of our body and soul, and remind us of the grace of simplicity. Enlarge our hearts so that we give to those in need, and in so doing, we rediscover the grace of gratitude and generosity. May this season be a grace-filled time to rekindle our love for and faith in you. Amen.
The scripture reading today is from Romans 8:14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. This is the word of the Lord.
You did very well on that first hymn, and our next one is Day by Day, number 718. We'll try the first verse again, because that's probably all we're familiar with. You want to stand as we sing it together. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Thank you. Stay standing. We're going to give our tithes and offerings now, and so we're going to join together with the doxology, and you should know this by heart by now. So, if you would. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Be seated.
We give thanks to the Lord for the opportunity to serve His church here on earth, here in Eagle Bend, and in our community. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But now am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved.
Great. It's also what a great opportunity we have to have another pastor in our congregation. Hugh, thank you for joining us, and I'm looking forward to working with you. That's right, I got to put on my cheaters.
You look like Guido.
She says I look like Guido. So what? I'm from Brooklyn, New York, so don't give me no guff. Lent is beginning right now. This is the first Sunday in Lent. Lent is a 6-week or 40-day preparation for the celebration of the resurrection of Christ. It's a time of reflection, prayer, and meditation to understand what is our relationship to God. It started last week with Ash Wednesday, and maybe you saw a few people here and there with a black cross on their forehead. They're mainly Episcopalians and Roman Catholics that go to Mass, and they take the ashes from the palms from last year, burn them and get ashes, and they put a cross on their head in remembrance that it is Ash Wednesday. This Lent, we're going to look deeply into some parts of our worship that tend to become rote. Now, last week, Betty talked about communion, and she gave a very good and thoughtful and insightful, meaningful look into Holy Communion. What does it mean? Is it something that's just done every week just because? Well, no, she really looked into it very carefully. And a lot of people had a new perspective on what communion is all about. It is a deeply meaningful part of our worship. Well, I'll round out these next 6 weeks by looking at the Lord's Prayer in depth. We're going to do one little part of the Lord's Prayer this morning, and then the Apostles' Creed. Why do we repeat these every week? Why do we say them? What does it mean for our life? Two guys were talking, and one of them made a comment about prayer. He said, "I pray every day." His friend says, "If you are so religious, let me hear you quote the Lord's Prayer. I'll bet you $10 you can't do it." The other guy says, "Yes, I do. I can say the Lord's Prayer." And it goes like this. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." The other friend said, "Wow, I didn't think you knew it. Here's my $10. Well, this is a model for all prayer that Jesus gave to us on the Sermon on the Mount. And the Lord's Prayer begins with God. It starts with reverent worship. You know, so often we rush into prayer with a list of things that we need for ourselves. But Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, talking to God. Give God the adoration and the praise that he deserves. Worship means worth-ship. He is worthy of our praise. By specifying who art in heaven, it says that God has a supremacy. He's surrounded by heaven, by the angelic hosts. And it places him in the context of worship and adoration. It also identifies our home. This is not our home here. We're so used to be preoccupied with things on earth that we are just temporary residents of this planet. When we pray, we're making a toll-free call to our home. Well, we don't know that much about heaven, although I remember over the last 10 years I've done two sermon series on what is heaven all about, and it talks a lot about what we are going to. Some of us are very close to heaven. Some of us are not. Some of us think about it all the time. Some of us don't. Who is closest to heaven? Well, the one who is closest to heaven is the one who prays, because that's as close as we can get, because we're talking to God as the next best thing to being there. Well, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're showing solidarity to our other Christian friends. The opening word is "Our Father." This prayer unites all Christians. It's a fellowship of believers. The righteous come together. All over the world on the Lord's Day, and also on Saturday, this Shabbat, with some Christians meet on Saturdays. Believers are praying together and saying, "Okay, Lord, we are going to come together and pray to you." The word Father, our Father, has a very deep meaning to us, doesn't it? Most people wouldn't perceive God as Father. Jesus changed all that. The Jews would not even believe that God is Father. They would not even write the name of God. They would not even say the name of God. They would say Yahweh. And then what they ever wrote, even today, the Messianic Jews who believe in Christ as their Savior do not write the word G-O-D. They write G-D because they feel that it is sacrilegious to pronounce his name. Jesus called God his Father all the time, except for one time when he was on the cross. And he prayed a part of Psalm 22, which says, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Very often we see references to God as the Father. That is so important to us. Modern theology tries to get away from God as Father, a masculine being. Very often modern theology wants to say it's God is a neutral person or Mother God. But this takes away the power of God. The loving God is our Father. He is also our judge. We don't pray attempting to live a life apart from God. That is so integral to our life. So when you pray the Lord's Prayer, think about the connection between you and God. But those who pray the Lord's Prayer and take it to heart know him as a loving, involved Father. You know, it's so important because a father is such a family word, and that is what God wants us to feel, the family of God. We talk directly to God. In the Catholic Church, very often you have to talk to angels and saints first. But we can talk directly to God. As Paul describes his position as members of God's family in Galatians, he says, "You are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Because you have become his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, and now you call him Abba, Father." We are adopted into God's family. Not out of natural birth, but God has selected you as part of his family. He has selected you. John exclaims in his first epistle, "How great is the love of God that has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are." Well, it doesn't mean that we should be casual with God because he is our Father, our Creator. Paul says we can call God Abba, Father. A minister was going to Israel and he saw a little boy running across the square in Israel and he was calling his father, "Abba, Abba, Abba, Abba." That is so important because that's such a personal, in-depth, close, intimate feeling of God. You've heard some people say, you know, God is the man upstairs or that big guy, you know. But God is a father that we all need. Some of us, like the prodigal son, have been blessed by a generous, loving father. I was. Betty wasn't. I had a wonderful dad. And he just became my great friend when he died and when I was 22 years old. And he became my friend and I lost him. There are those who have had abusive fathers. Psalm 68 proclaims, "God is a father to the fatherless." We can trust God. He will do exactly what he knows is best for us. We should always want to talk to God as our Heavenly Father. Just talk to him. The common objective to prayer is, why do we need to pray? Why do we need to pray? Because we need to communicate with our Father. We don't call God and say, "Okay, here's God. I want you to know this. I want you to do this because it's good for me." God knows exactly what we need. So early in this prayer, in the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Thy kingdom come." It was common in the Middle Ages for the kings to be called the father of their people. Even George Washington in our country was called the father of his country. When we call upon God the Father, we identify ourselves as children of the King. Wow, you're all princes and princesses, aren't you? Children of the King. That's wonderful. We pray to God like we are children, close children, actual blood related. St. Paul says we were all baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. And that's part of it. That's part of our community. Look at our community, how much we care for each other in this church. It is an amazing congregation. I've never seen one before in my life, and I've said this so many times, I'm going to say it many times over again. We pray for each other. We care for each other. We help each other whenever there's need. John, in his opening chapter of the Gospel of John, says, "To all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God." So we're all part of this family. We're all related through Christ and through God. the Lord's Prayer helps us to find our way back home. And home is with God. That's our true home. Let us pray. Loving Father, help us to be your loyal children and cause us to reach out to others in our family of faith, to bear one another's burdens, to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Grant us consistency in prayer and teach us to be more effective in our prayer life. For the glory of our Savior, we pray. Amen. And now, let us confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty.
We're going to prepare for communion now, and as we do, we stay seated and think about the words of the song. We are going to sing I Surrender All, which is 596, if you have your hymnals. This is another part of our service that we see every week, and sometimes we just let it slide off our backs. But listen to the words. In the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he met with his disciples in the upper room. And they took the bread, and he took it and broke it and gave it to him and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you." After they finished eating, he took the cup and he blessed it and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." Now let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
as we end our service today, I want to remind you to be here bright and early next Sunday because daylight savings time begins, okay? And I think you're all going to be familiar with this song, but let's stand and sing, "This Is My Father's World."
Please come forward and greet Lynn and Hugh. We're so happy to have them here. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his grace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.